Welcome to Cat Chat, brought to you by Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat, privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose personal mission has been to formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie has also created clean protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give your kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. Often sharing my conversation with feline expert Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. Dr. Elsie's is also the founding and continuing sponsor of my New York Cat Film Festival, which brings together short films from around the world that celebrate kitty cats. The festival premieres every fall in New York City and then travels to theaters across America and Canada, with a portion of every ticket going to local cat welfare organizations with the support of Dr. Elsie's. I am thoroughly delighted to welcome Zazie Todd back to the show. Her book, Wag, About Making Dogs Happy, was one of my favorite books when she wrote it and it was published. And now a new and beautiful book called Purr, The Science of Making Your Cat Happy. Zazie, you've done a wonderful job of gathering up years and years and years of other people's observations and scientific studies, and you've brought together such great advice for cat owners to understand their cat better and give them their best possible life, not from your personal point of view, but from the point of view of all the great minds who've been studying cats. You went to great trouble to do this so thoroughly and research it so well, and then bring your own love of cats to the same topic. So well done and congratulations.
Thank you very much. I hope it's a book that will help people to understand their cats better, and it's full of practical tips, but also it tells you about the science so people can understand where those tips are coming from, which I think is always very important.
Absolutely right, so that they have confidence in the information. In a little bit, I want to talk about all positive things first, but in a little bit I do need to talk about the chapter on feeding your cat, which has a lot of, excuse me, so-called science. That's not any kind of disrespect to you, but to the people who were the scientists, in which dry food is pretty much the only food that has been studied and therefore talked about. And I do want to forewarn people that I vigorously want you to buy this book. It's really, really wonderful. It's so thorough and so inclusive. But the part about what to feed your cat is something I have a problem with, and you guys know how I feel about that. But we will get to that after we talk about some of the really original ideas, Zazie, that you've pulled out of research. The first one that jumps out at me, you have a checklist in the back of the book for a happy cat. And the very first one is one that I have never heard talked about: the predictability of when things will happen in a cat's schedule and the importance of that. Things that happen at the same time each day. Is this something you think most people are unaware of? They figure you feed the cat when you feed it, you play when you're in the mood, and so forth. To me, it was a very original, important idea.
Thank you. And I think it probably depends on the household, because some people have jobs that are always at the same time, you know, when they're going to work and so on. And so because of that, they have a routine automatically. And other people, their lives are much more different for whatever reason, and so they don't have the same kind of routine. But it helps cats the same as it helps other animals to have a routine, and because we control a lot of things in their life, so it helps them to know, like, that they're going to get playtime with you every day, that they're going to get certain times of the day when you're going to pet them or spend time with them, or they can come and relax next to you on the sofa, and times when they're going to get fed. And the thing is, when you have a routine, actually your cat learns the routine, and they will come to recognize, you know, this is the time when this is going to happen. And it just helps them to feel more safe and more comfortable in their life with you.
I think it's an absolutely unique perspective. One of the things that I think is coming out as cats' emotions are studied more is that cats are in a state of stress to a greater or lesser degree, living in people's homes or living outside, but we would like them, and sadly for them often, to live mostly indoors. The idea that their stress level is raised and their anxiety is there all the time, like, Are they coming home? Is this when the wand toy will come out? Is that dinner? Do I hear the sign of dinner? Is that breakfast? Oh my God, they went out without doing it because they went to work and they think, I didn't act hungry. I think that if the whole point of the book, which it is the science of making your cat happy, is understanding that a routine is valuable to them, that they welcome it. You look at people raising infant humans and toddlers, they need to have a nap time at a certain time, a bath time at a certain time, dinner at a certain time, and bedtime at a certain time. People know that about humans. They don't really know it about cats. And I think you've done a huge service in saying that a cat is otherwise has a question mark above his head. It was an idea that I had never heard expressed before. And this book in the first chapter goes into a lot of detail about why knowing what's coming, feeling you, I guess it gives them, would you say, some feeling of control over their lives?
Yes, I think it does help to give a feeling of control and a feeling just of knowing what's going to happen and not having to worry about when their next meal is coming, for example. And one of the things we know about cats now is that scientists think that many cats, unfortunately, are actually quite bored.
Yes.
And when they were asked about the biggest welfare issue to affect pet cats, many experts said it's actually behavior issues due to the house not being set up right for them and the cat being bored at home. And so there are lots of things that you can do that will make your cat not only happier, but also less likely to have those behavior issues, or maybe help to resolve some of those behavior issues if they're there. So it's really important to understand what a cat would like. And I think everyone who has a cat, they want to make their cat happy. But for so long, people have thought of cats as easy pets, mm-hmm. and they are mm-hmm. easy, definitely. But the more that you do for your cat, actually, the better your relationship with your cat is going to be. And really, most cats could do with us doing a bit more for them.
A bit more for them and with them. But you also have wonderful chapters on at their request, at their behest, at their pleasure level, so that if you want to have a very cuddly, pet it all the time, smush it in the face cat, and that cat isn't that kind of cat, then you need to get a new perspective on that cat, so that you're going to feel what that cat needs and feed those needs in a way that's best for the cat. In other words, short. You also have another really great advice about interactions. That the interactions with the cat are predictable, short, and if the cat likes it, frequent. So it's not like, oh, I will now go pet the cat for 23 minutes or as long as this TV show lasts. Maybe that cat likes just one stroke on the top of his head every so often, right? I mean, there's that idea that when people get laughingly annoyed that the cat walks across their book when they're reading or across their computer desk, it's really that the cat hasn't gotten the attention that he needed or wanted many other hours of the day. I think really he's just crying for attention. But people didn't realize the cat would have liked some the other 11 hours before you sat down. Isn't that really part of what your book is showing us?
Yes, absolutely. Cats like to have choices and they like to have control whenever possible. And many people expect to be able to pet their cat for a long time and then that's it, they're done
yes.
for the day.
Yes.
But actually what most cats prefer is actually to have shorter interactions, but for them, as you say, to be more frequent, so more often. And yes, when your cat is walking in front of your computer or whatever, they are asking for a bit of affection, but they're probably not asking for like half an hour of being petted. They probably just want something quite short and then they'll be content and then they'll go away again.
Yes.
And so they like it to be frequent, and they generally they prefer to be petted around the face. And there's some lovely research that looked at where cats like to be petted. And I have to say there are always exceptions, because every cat is an individual and that's what we love about cats.
Yes.
So in general, though, most cats do not like to be petted on the tummy or around the base of the tail, especially if they don't know the person well.
Which anyone who's done that, the cat grabs your hand with all four of their paws and bites you. So the cat's laid on his back because he's feeling relaxed and offering his tummy. You think, oh, that's like a Labrador Retriever. They like their belly rubbed. But when you do it to a cat, they're showing vulnerability, but they're not saying, could you do it right here on my soft underbelly? And they grab and bite and scratch you, and you think, oh, I have a mean cat. No, you're just a dope.
Yeah.
You don't know any better.
It's more like, it's more like the cat is saying, I trust you, not
yes.
to touch my tummy.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I trust you.
Exactly. That's so perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
It's so perfect. And I think that's what's lovely about Purr, which is a wonderful title for the book, as was Wag. It's that you explain things that we, in our totally human-centric way, have been mistaking for something else. We just didn't get it. One of the other things, and I am going to spend some time with you on my other show, Cat Chat, and we're going to get very specific on topics that, so many of your topics that I just am mad for. But the one about the normalcy of hiding, that cats need a hidey hole, don't disturb them. These are ideas, Zazie, that people have not really understood. Oh, the poor thing, he's upset. I'll haul him out from under the couch or the bed. Well, that's just the wrong thing to do, right? The cat's hiding because he wants to stay hidden. He's feeling the need to be hidden, which is normal. It's not a mental illness problem. It's a cat thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a cat thing. So cat's response to stress is, in general, they would really prefer to be able to run and hide.
Yes.
And so it's very important to have hiding places for them around your home. And I'm sure if you look around your house, you will see places where your cat already likes to hide. But most cats would like to have more places to hide, and somewhere in every room where if they're not happy about something, they can go and hide, and where they will be left and allowed to hide there and not pulled out to interact with other people.
That's a great point.
So,
I mean,
example,
we know that we're supposed to give some high places, and you talk about in the book, you know, vertical spaces, get up, get away. But there are lots of times, as you point out, and this is something people don't think about, that hiding down low is even more natural for them. There isn't always in the outside world, you know, from historically a tree, but a place to hide is a good thing. So you don't want to have a room so bare of such opportunities that the cat doesn't want to come in it, because once they're in there, they've got no way to protect themselves in their mind.
That's right. And it's very easy to do, because if you want to spend a lot of money and buy fancy cat condos with hiding spaces and cat caves and so on, you can. But you can also just give your cat a cardboard box.
Yes.
We all know how much cats like cardboard boxes.
They do.
So it's very easy.
They do. Just get a nice one if you must. You can decorate the outside if it makes you happier, if your inner Martha Stewart requires that you, you know, that everything match in the room. But strangely enough, cardboard itself is very pleasing to them. It's not just the box shape, although scientists, of whom you've spent a great deal of your time paying attention to them, seem to think that it's the square shape, the box shape, but it could even be the cardboard. I mean, there's funny things they like, right? They like to chew on plastic shopping bags, some of them, not all of them. So there's some attraction just to cardboard.
Yeah, and the nice thing about a cardboard box is it's often just the right size for the cat, and cats like hiding places that are just the right size for them.
Right.
You know, no one else to fit in. Unless you have two cats that are really well bonded and like to cuddle up together, then they will try and squeeze into the same place. But mostly cats would like a space that's just for them, just the right size for them. And the other thing about cardboard is it helps with scratching, because some cats really like to scratch the bottom of a cardboard box.
Yes, yes.
Obviously, cats have their preferences about surfaces they scratch, and we know to provide scratching posts. But some cats like a horizontal surface to scratch as well as a vertical one, and a cardboard box can be providing that too sometimes.
And they do make now horizontal, lie down or tie it up somewhere, cardboard scratchers for this reason. If you don't want a bunch of cardboard boxes around, or it doesn't have enough, it's whatever that cardboard is doesn't have enough heft to it that your cat can really dig his claws in. You talk in the book about having horizontal scratchers as well as upright ones. And those cardboard ones are fairly inexpensive. You can flip them over and use the other side. You could rub catnip on them if your cat seems to respond well to that. But offering these things is pretty essential to them embracing their own catness. And I think that that's the real beauty of the book, is that you've left no stone unturned in terms of all the ways in which interacting with the cat can be good for them, or you in your well-meaningness are doing things that are not good for them, don't feel good to them, they interrupt the bond, right? Just like rubbing them on their tummy. I mean, that's just like a big no-no.
Yes.
I just want to say something quick about the dry food. I know you were following the science, and so the science of dry food, various studies that have been done. I just need to say once again, and I'll say it to you, and I did say to you before we began that I didn't want to blindside you or put you in an awkward position. I have the utmost respect and admiration for your love of cats and your serious writing about them and care for them. But the reason that dry food has been studied is that's where the market is and that's where the money is. And to just make an analogy, if people were to study dry cereals for children and compare one to another, you're still looking at a horrible food for children. I will say that. Sorry, Mr. Kellogg's and Mr. Post. Feeding children highly processed carbs, thickly covered or including sugar, and chemicals that make them have colors, it's just not good food for anybody. It's, to my mind, almost worse than fast food hamburger kind of things. So if you're looking at dry food for cats, which I've always called kitty crack, it's absurd, scientifically absurd, intellectually absurd, in my opinion, to compare one to another because the cats are obese, which is something you bring up in the book, because they ate dry food. If they were eating wet food, we did this on the show years ago when Cat Chat was live on Sirius. We did the Waroova Biggest Kitty Loser contest. Said feed any wet food. Could be Waroova if you want to go high end. Feed any wet food for 2 weeks. No kitty crack, not one piece of it. And see what happens. That was citizen science. That was my little science experiment, Zazie. And
that's
every
awesome.
Single cat lost weight, stopped shedding, became shinier, and happier and more affectionate. So I just want to say I understood you were following the science, but I do believe you do something different with your own cats. If you would let us know what that is, how you feed your cats.
Well, I actually do feed my cats mostly wet food, and I think it is better for them. And one of my cats is overweight and on a diet, and so feeding him more wet food helps with that, definitely.
Yes,
and I think we need more research on what to feed cats, for sure. I agree completely that we need more work on that. And I'm not personally a nutritionist or a vet either. But I think one of the other things to know about feeding your cat is that it's a good idea to feed multiple small meals a day.
Yes, definitely.
Because that more closely mimics, you know, a cat hunting for their own food. And also, it's good for your cat, especially if they're indoors only, to feed them with food puzzle toys.
Yes, you have a whole section on that.
Most of the ones on the market are designed for use with kibble, but you can get some that are designed for wet food, and you can also just do a bit of fun for yourself, like if you get little plates or cupcake holders and put wet food in it and hide it around the house.
Oh, yes.
Your cat has to hunt for it. That's one way of making meal times a bit more interesting if you're feeding your cat wet food. So it's still possible to use food puzzle toys with wet food if you want to. It's just that you have to be, you maybe have to search a bit harder for them because there are so many different ones that are designed for use with kibble.
Well said. We've run out of time, but I hope you will all, those of you with cats, will jump over to Cat Chat and look in the coming weeks for more conversations with Zazie Todd about this wonderful book, Purr, The Science of Making Your Cat Happy. Well done, Zazie. Thank you for listening. I hope this conversation has deepened your understanding and appreciation of cats everywhere. It's been brought to you by Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat, which created their own clean protein cat foods, inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, to better satisfy a cat's appetite with ingredients naturally intended for her body. 90% of the protein in clean protein is animal-based, not plant-based, as in many cat foods, which can compromise cats' health. Clean protein is the first dry cat food I can personally recommend as a healthy choice, although I always hope that wet food will be your cat's primary diet. Thanks again for being here.